Hi, everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy, heard every Sunday night here on KCRW. And this week and next week, we're going to be listening to musical parodies, all sorts of things, starting off with parodies of classical music and going up through the big band era and a couple things involving country music and then on to the rock and roll era. And, oh, there goes the microphone. it says KCRW on it, just in case I forget. Let's see. We'll start off with a Peter Hubach piece, which actually is not really a takeoff on classical music as much as a takeoff on sports broadcasting and on program notes of classical music. But still, it's a very famous piece, and I get a lot of requests to play it again. So it's called New Horizons in Music Appreciation. It's the sports casting of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. And then we'll hear Albert Brooks with his version of the Ravel's Bolero. And after that, all sorts of things. We'll take it one step at a time, though, beginning with the marvelous Peter Schickele as Peter Hubach. No, he actually isn't Peter. It's Peter Schickele and Robert Dennis here with New Horizons in Music Appreciation, Beethoven's Fifth Symphony.
Good evening, music fans. Here we are at Philharmonic Hall in New York Mills, Minnesota. It's a beautiful night for a concert. There's not a cloud in the ceiling. And there's quite a crowd out here. About how many do you think there are, Bob?
Oh, I don't know, Pete.
Well, neither do I, but it's quite a crowd. And I think they're looking forward to hearing the New York Mills Philharmonic playing against the Danish conductor, Heilige Dankesang. And here he comes now, ascending the podium. And the players are all lined up and ready to begin the first inning of Beethoven's Symphony No. 5 in C minor. And they're off with a four-note theme. This is very exciting. The beginning of a symphony is always very exciting, folks. I don't know whether it's slow or fast yet because it keeps stopping. It doesn't seem to be able to get off the ground yet. And it looks like, yes, it looks like we're coming up to a cadence here, folks. The violins didn't cut off there. A little trouble with the violins. They weren't watching. And there's that four-note theme again, folks. And another stop. Just can't seem to get this piece off the ground. Now it seems to be rolling a little bit. Seems to be building up. Tell me, Bob, do you think you'd call that four-note idea a theme or a motif?
Well, Pete, the technical term would be motif, which he uses to build a theme.
I see. Thanks for setting me straight about that, Bob. Well, we're heading into the second theme section here, and we can expect a little modulation down there. Wow, did you hear that, Bob? Somebody down there in the horn section really flubbed that note. That was one of the worst fumbles I think I've ever witnessed in all my days. I think it was number one, wasn't it, Bob?
Yes, it was, Pete. That was Bobby Cornrow in the first chair, and that's the third major flub he's made this season, giving him a solo average for the season of approximately .247355, which is pretty darn low for a first chair man.
You think there's some chance he might be sold to another orchestra?
Well, it's hard to say, Pete. Cornrow's very good in the long solos, things like the Rachmaninoff Mahanic Concerto. So I think if he pulls himself together a bit, they'll probably keep him around, although I suppose he might...
Well, I think it's development time down there now, Bob. Let's see what's going to happen. The horns are starting it off. They seem to be in pretty good shape now, and I get the feeling that we're probably going to be hearing a lot of that four-note motif, don't you, Bob?
Yes, I do, Pete.
So do I, Bob. Well, they obviously are stuck with that four-note motif, and they're going to be fooling around with it for quite a while. You notice it's pretty hot in here, Bob?
Yes, I do, Pete.
Yeah, I think the air conditioning has gone off, which is just one of the things... Wait a minute, there's something going on down there on the stage, folks. There's something happening down there. It's really building up tension. The crowd is getting very excited. The brasses have come in, and the timpani, and everybody, and it's extremely exciting. I think we're building up to a fugue. No, the basses are not picking up the theme, folks. It is not a fugue. The violins tried to make it one, but the basses are not following up. No, instead of a fugue, folks, he seems to be taking the theme and breaking it up into little pieces. Just two notes left of that theme now being thrown around from player to player. And it's getting softer and softer down there, folks. I think they're losing steam. They seem to be running out of steam. And it's just getting a little bit lethargic down there, if you want to know the truth. It's gotten down to one note now. And things are... Wait a minute! The brasses have come in and tried to pep things up. A welcome relief. But I'm afraid to no avail. Things are still pretty somberish. Wait a minute. Here they come again. They're really determined. It sounds very familiar. And I think we've reached the recap, Bob, don't you?
There's no doubt about it, Pete. Your average Beethoven's symphony usually has a recap right after the second quarter, and this one is falling right into line.
Well, let's see if those violins can cut off with the rest of the orchestra, and the cadence is coming up. Wait a minute. This time it's the oboe holding the note too long. Wait, he's playing a cadenza. He must be out of his mind. He thinks it's an oboe concerto. The conductor's standing down there. He doesn't know what to do. Have you ever heard anything like that, Bob?
I certainly haven't, Pete. I think it was a disgraceful display of lack of teamsmanship. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if Highwood's name wasn't on the roster next season, although I must say that the fans really seem to go for these outbursts of temperament.
Well, I always say, Bob, professional music teams wouldn't exist without the spectators. Anyway, we're into the home stretch here with the second theme coming up, and we should be in C minor right up to the double bar. Wait a minute. That's really something, Bob. The piece's build as being in C minor, and yet it looks like it's going to end in C major.
It's really something, Pete.
Well, I think it's something that the Composers Commission ought to look into, and I suspect that they will as soon as this gets out. But it looks like it's going to be an ending anyway. Things are building up a little there. The violins have really gotten a hold of things. They're really beginning to roll, and now he's adding all the woodwinds there. He's thrown in all his brass and the timpani, and it's tutti all the way, folks. He's got a great piece on his hands here, and he looks like he's really coming into the home stretch. Well, I guess that about wraps it up, hey, Bob?
Yeah, Pete, it's been a good piece.
I think he can really have something to be proud of himself here. Wait a minute! The brasses are taking the theme! They're not letting it stop! They're taking the theme and running ahead! Bob, this piece is definitely going to go into overtime. I can see that. The crowd is going wild. They're standing up on their feet. They're jumping. They're stomping. They're yelling. And let me tell you that down on that stage, the players are doing a bit of running around themselves. Nobody, but nobody knows where the theme is. The audience, nor the players, nobody knows where that theme is. Everybody is running around. And believe me, it's very exciting. This is the kind of thing that only happens once in 10 years, folks. They've got a new theme going on down there. I can't believe it. Bob, do you know where this new theme comes from?
Well, Pete, it probably comes from, no, I don't, Pete.
Well, they're tossing it around now. The woodwinds have it, and then the strings have it. Nobody seems to be able to keep his hands on that theme. It's getting tossed around from player to player, from section to section. And believe me, folks, the audience is just as confused as the players is about who is going to have that theme finally. Wait a minute, the strings have got a hold of it. The strings have got a hold of that theme, and they are not going to let go! What's this? I can't believe my ears! It sounds as if it's another recap! It sounds as if he's going right back to the beginning! If this is true, it's the first time it's happened in 10 years of concert casting. Wait a minute. Those sound like final chords, though. This may be... That may be it, folks. I'm looking down at the referee. Yes, that is it. That is the end of the piece. The players are taking off their helmets, and the conductor has turned around and is acknowledging the cheers of the crowd. Well, it was quite a symphony, wasn't it, Bob?
It was quite a symphony, Pete, and I think the fans feel that they got their money's worth.
So do I, Bob. And I don't think there's any doubt about who won this contest, either. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the critics slap a stiff penalty on some of the players, particularly Bobby Corno.
Neither would I, Pete. And, of course, this was a very important victory for Haile Gadankazang, since it puts him right up there at the top of the conductor's league.
That's right, Bob. That means that he'll be up against the Fargo-Moorhead Symphony in the World 12-Tone Series next month. And let's see, they not only lead the orchestral league, but I think they're unbeaten this season, aren't they, Bob?
You said it, Pete, and if Gadankazang can win four concerts off them, he'll be the first conductor to earn the pennant since Toscanini.
Well, that's quite a challenge, Bob. Now I think I'd better be heading down to the locker rooms to have a chat with Gadankazang himself.
Well, Pete, I think he was supposed to be doing a baton commercial after the concert, but why didn't you give it a try?
I'll do that, Bob. So for now, this is Pete Schickele.
And Bob Dennis.
Signing off for the wonderful wide world of notes.
Should we do it on the couch? Sure, should we do it on the floor? Or should we check into a fine hotel, one with naked paintings? No, we'll not go anywhere. We'll stay right here. Let's not waste time. Why not take off your brassiere and put it over there by my socks? I'll make sure that the front door is locked, and I'll take the telephone off the hook. Gee, you look good standing there, wearing only shoes and pretty underwear. Would you mind if I ask, do you like children? You do? Well, guess what, my dear? You'll be getting none from me. I've undergone some surgery. There'll be no pregnancy here. I'm about as potent as a warm glass of beer. Anyway, let us start. I'm getting old. Now, we're both standing in the news. I don't want to be too rough, nor do anything too crude. Would you like to lie down, and I'll climb on top? Well, I can tie you up and pretend that this is rape. I'll get dressed up like an ape, or name another act. I heard you were a kleptomaniac. Well, you can take a look at this. Say, do you mind if I tell you about the time I went to war? There was this squadron of planes, maybe 100 or so. They were dropping bombs all over my head. Well, what could I do? I went for my ammo and gun, and I single-handedly shot down everyone. There, my story's told. Doesn't leave you cold. It sure makes me hot. Now the moment of truth is at hand. The evening has progressed just exactly as I planned. I don't think we should ruin it with much more foreplay. Whoa, my God above! I've never felt like this before. Like I'm the sea and you're the shore. And as my surf begins to pound, you promise not to make a sound. You will actually hear my time coming. Oh, it's like a roller coaster into space. Oh, Lord, this must be the place. Yes. Oh, now. God. Oh. How much do I owe? Charge for me. I love you. We'll be right back.
No, that was not your junior high school orchestra. That was the Portsmouth Symphonia, an aggregation of musicians from England. And the idea behind this record, it's a truly wonderful record, is that you had actual musicians who knew how to play instruments. However, they were playing instruments that they had never touched before. So they sort of knew how to read music, but the actual mechanics of their instruments were causing them some trouble, as you could hear on that record. But they made a number of albums, but the one, Portsmouth Symphonia Plays the Popular Classics, is the one to look for. Very hard to find, though. And before that, we heard Albert Brooks with, I think it's called Love Song or something on the record, but it's Ravel's Bolero. That's from a long-out-of-print record called A Star Is Bought. And we started off with P.D.Q. Bach. This is still available. And now let's move on to the world of jazz and the big bands, starting off with Benny Goodman, with something from his second Carnegie Hall Jazz Concert in October of 1939, in which he takes off on a number of different arrangers and big bands.
Well, a little musical fun titled, Tain't What You Do, It's the Way How You Do It. I've always wanted to sing in Carnegie Hall, and I think this is my chance. About 3:30, my dad said, son, come here to me. And things may come and things may go, but here's one thing that you ought to know. It's the way how you do it. It's the way how you do it. It's the way how you do it.
That's what gets me
done. Mama, mama, it's the way how you do it. It's the way how you do it. It's the way how you do it.
That's what gets me done.
Well, all right, man.
Try hard, don't mean a thing.
Some voice, eh, kid?
Take it easy.
Breezy.
When you want to swing.
Well, swing 'em, boy.
Take what you say.
It's the way how you say it.
Take what you play.
It's the way how you play it.
Take what you can.
The way how you can.
Say, Benny.
Yeah.
What do you mean by K?
I mean Kay Kaiser. He wouldn't play that song that way.
He wouldn't?
No.
Then how would he play it?
You ask the boys, they know. Student! Listen to the sassy trumpets. And now the shortest 15 minutes in radio, Fred Wang. It taint what you... It's the way that you... That's what gets me so high. And now that sentimental gentleman of swing, Tommy Dorsey. And now the sweetest music this side of heaven. Remember now, this is really all in fun now. This is really all in fun. Guy Lombardo.
you mean some of that Carnegie Hall jive, huh?
You
This is the saga of three blind mice who lived in a recording studio. They called the first one Billy May. The second they called Benny Goodman. And the third used to live in a mill, so they called him Miller. He was a romantic little mouse. They all ran after the farmer's son, who sent them stone deaf with a tunable drum. There were a couple of Irish cats around too. One was named Mulligan. The other wasn't exactly Irish, but he was a sort of Finnegan. Stan Kenton had never seen such a thing in his life as three blind mice, so he wrote some music for the occasion. Theme for a trio of sightless rodents. Frightened the mice away.
That was Johnny Dankworth and his orchestra, recorded in 1956, the takeoff on some arrangers, Stan Kenton, Billy May, etc. And while we're taking off on arrangers, here's a terrific arrangement by Ralph Schuckett, which takes off on Nelson Riddle in a medley of rock and roll tunes, as done by Joe Piscopo as Frank Sinatra. Is that complicated enough for you?
Saw her dancing there by the record machine. She could not have been more than 17. Played my favorite tune. I knew pretty soon that broad, she would dance with me. Yeah, me. I love rock and roll. Put a dime in the jukebox, baby. Dig that rock and roll. Come on and dance with me. You are cold as ice. you will sacrifice our love. You do not take advice. Someday you'll pay the tab, I know. You are chilly, baby. Under my thumb, that gal, she shot me down. My thumb, that chick, pushed me around. It's down to me, Jack. The difference in the threads she wears, down to me. Change has come, thumb. So hit me with your best shot. Hit me with that shot. Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is with great honor that I pay tribute to a marvelous human being, one groovy cat, Bruce Springsteen. The highway's jammed with broken heroes on a last chance power drive. Someone's on the run tonight. There is not one place to hide. Someday, girl, I do not know when, we'll get to that place, you and me. Take a stroll in the sun. Yeah, 'cause baby, let me tell ya, tramps like us, sweetheart, born to run. That lady's a tramp, she was born to run. Let's jog, baby, yeah. I love rock and roll. Put some coin in the jukebox. Love that rock and roll. Come on and dance. I want you to dance with me. Dance with me, baby. I know what boys like. I know what guys want. Wanna jump your bones, baby. Smoke on the water. Fire in the sky. No disco, no fooling around. Ain't no mud club, no CBGB. Do not have time for that now. Got time to split down to Jilly's. Now that's a class joint. Yeah.
And that's going to have to wrap up this program of musical parodies. Special thanks go out to Charlie Schlatter, who sort of triggered off the whole idea by sending me a tape containing some of the things that we heard in this program, specifically the Benny Goodman record and the Johnny Dankworth record, and one other thing which we will hear next week. So thanks to Charlie Schlatter, who's a very funny guy in his own right, a television writer. Anyway, let's see. Next week we will move from the world of jazz and classical, which we heard in this program, to musical parodies having to do with country music and rock and roll, specifically Weird Al Yankovic, who seems to have made an entire career out of parodying Michael Jackson, and what else, the Heebie-Jeebies with their terrific parodies of the Bee Gees and their Simon and Garfunkel takeoff, and probably Stan Freberg's takeoff of Les Paul and Mary Ford, and all sorts of things. So I hope you can join me for that next week. The address, in case you'd like to write to me and hear from me, is Bob Claster, C-L-A-S-T-E-R, Funny Stuff, K-C-R-W, 1900 Pico Boulevard, Santa Monica, California, 90405. And enclose a phone number where I can reach you during the day, during the week, and you will hear from me if that is something that would make your day. And that's about it. So until next week, this is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you for listening and reminding you to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.